All right, just got a short word for you and wanted to play a quick video if I could just before we get started. So hopefully it works. You may have seen this over the last couple of weeks. It's been doing the rounds. Okay, so a picture of a couple of people about to go paragliding. One guy on the left didn't quite get his carabiner clipped onto the safety section. Houston, we have a problem. Getting higher and higher. Holding on with my hands, that said, if you can't read it. They're a long way up. Pilot is trying to maneuver to a quick landing, but is having trouble controlling the glider. So the pilot's on the right, and the guy on the left is a novice. No kidding. Maybe aim for a tree? Question mark. This is the thought process of the person that put this video on, who is, I believe, the person on the left, thinking, nice view, I'm going to die. Okay, maybe not the nice view part. So coming over sort of like the mountain and just getting a lot higher. Getting higher, not good. Perhaps if we can so he's trying to grip on. See, the pilot is trying to grab his hand there, but he's struggling to control the paraglider at the same time. He's just got his hands just over that pipe there. Only just. Pilot is making a beeline to the open landing area. So you can see it up top of the screen there. That's the open landing area. So we're probably, I don't know how high it is. I'm guessing. It's hard to tell based on the GoPro sort of footage. Hanging well below the landing gear. I didn't read that last bit. Did anyone read it? Yeah. Is anyone else getting that sensation right now of like the heights feeling? So he's got grip of his leg. He's got a grip of his hand, and the guy's holding his hand. Can't hold on much longer. We'll watch it all the way through. It's only 4 minutes. I just won't talk for that long. This is pretty interesting. Almost there. You can just feel it, can't you? Coming in hot. So we get very low to the ground. It just slips off. Let's go off the leg, and we don't see what happened. And then the pilot easily brings it. Yeah, flies off, cruises off, brings it to a landing. Thanks, Johnny. We can close that down now. So he did actually hurt himself a little bit, but actually, overall, didn't suffer much damage. Now, I'm not showing you this for. Doesn't relate to my talk. I just thought it'd be a great video. We're going to turn to Revelation. Revelation 3 and in verse 11. Crazy video. Like, I just can't imagine. Has anyone ever had one of those really sort of moments where you just have to hang on to something, otherwise you're going to fall about a kilometer? Dad, is this true? Yeah, that is true. That. I mean, I've been on heights, and I know that sensation, but not particularly. I've had to hold on, but I was probably only about a meter off the ground when I had that sensation. Just be unbelievable having that sensation while you're, whatever it might have been, maybe 300-400 meters. I mean, once you get above probably 5 meters, it just doesn't matter, does it? Like, every meter above that is just going to get worse. So, crazy situation. Revelation 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And we've heard about the theme this camp, which is, behold, I come quickly, or suddenly, and I just wanted to take a look at the aspect of holding on fast, or hold that fast. And literally, if you translated that, it would be to use strength and to retain. And like Jeff talked about the other night, to grip on. And boy, you could see that guy was gripping on, wasn't he? He had one hand on the bar there. He had one hand on his leg. He wasn't letting go. There was no way he was letting go of that. Well, there might have been a way, but he was just holding on as long as he could because he didn't want to drop that 300 meters. And sometimes, as the scriptures talk about here, that strength is required to retain or grip onto something. And that's what he's saying here. Hold that fast, as in hold that or hold on to or use your strength to retain it. Hold on to it, that no man takes thy crown. It is possible that, you know, someone's going to come away and steal that crown off us. But he says here to hold on to it, to protect it. Sometimes you have to put a bit of muscle into it. As I said, I think that guy was a novice based on his style of not clipping in, which I'm pretty sure is like a standard. As soon as you get onto one of those things, it'd be the first thing I'd be doing, like clipping on five times or something. But he was a novice, but he had some strength. To hold onto that bar, there might have been a bit of wind buffeting him. There was definitely the thingy moving like that. He would have had to have had a little bit of strength to hold on to that bar. And that's what we have to have. Sometimes we have to dig really deep. I can imagine he would have just been going, man, every time I went to the gym, I'm going to grab every little bit of strength from those gym sessions that I did because I'm going to need it right now. Tapping into that unused sort of strength store. And that's the same as us. We just got to tap into that unused strength store. Sometimes, you know, we might get buffeted. We might get knocked about a little bit by the wind or the bar knocking us around or something. And we've just got to tap into that unused strength. We've got to make sure that we're using that muscle and just gripping on to our salvation, our crown, as he says there. Because as the hang glider knew, he could see the distance, he could see where he was aiming for. He would have known exactly where they were going and where he needed to reach to hold on to until that point. He would have seen that landing zone and he would have known. And he would have known that there was an end coming. And that's the same as us. We know there's an end coming. Perhaps it's in our lifetime, perhaps it's not. But we know that there's an end coming. And we just have to hang on to that hang glider bar and the guy's leg all the way to the landing zone. And then, then we make it. I believe there's also a couple of attributes that he would have had to had. Obviously, the strength there. But also the determination, I think, as well. And we've covered the strength aspect. And, you know, the strength we can draw from different times in our life, like the prayer, the testimonies that we hear, we heard some tonight, the meetings that we go to, the fellowship that we encourage and learn from. Well, I suppose like a bodybuilder, constantly, daily going to a gym or something and constantly building up and getting the gains, he's going to be having that strength to be able to hold on to that bar. And that's the same as us. We've got all those things we can pull from and take us and top ourselves up from. And that's what we've got to use every day, making sure that we're strengthening ourselves, because we may end up in the situation where we're getting buffeted by the wind and we just need to hold on. It says there's a Marcus Aurelius said, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this and you'll find strength." And sometimes it's like we can't control the outside world. And like the hang glider here, he couldn't control pretty much anything apart from his strength and his determination. And I think that's the second thing he had. He had that instinct to survive, that instinct to get to that landing zone and land properly, well, sort of properly anyway. And that sort of survival instinct is what we've got. We want to make it to eternal life. We've got that determination. We know the goal, and we know that we're going to make it to that goal. Sometimes when there's something like this crown that we've got, you've got to guard it. You've got to guard it and protect it. Let's have a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. So to hold on to something, we sort of are looking at this aspect of guarding it and guarding our salvation. I suppose like a sportsman, like a sportsman guards a ball, or you know, like you know, you've got the soccer ball, or you've got a football, the oblong one, or you've got the ice hockey puck. You know, you've got to guard it, and you've got to protect it. Like these sportsmen, they are protecting that because that's their livelihood, really, at the end of the day. I know it sounds bizarre, but these sportsmen protecting this little puck or protecting this little checkered ball or this red skinned ball or something like that, they're protecting it with their lives because they know that it's going to eventually pay off for them. They're going to win the game and they're going to go to a premiership and win that as well, and they're going to get paid out and you know, enjoy all the rewards of having that win. And it's the same as us in our lives. We've got to protect what we've got. And 1 Peter 2, verse 11, it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." And this warring aspect, like you, in this sports sort of arena, you've got this warring. You've got one team versus another team, and they're all going for this tiny black puck or this little checkered ball or something. You know, it sounds bizarre when you break it down to those sorts of things, but it's a competition, it's a game, and they're warring against each other to get it. And you've got to, and they've got to protect it and make sure that they're, you know, controlling it and controlling their side so that they win. And it's the same as us. We've got this aspect, this war aspect, which is warring against our soul. And he says, abstain from fleshly lusts, because this is going to going to be one of the things that's going to guard us. It's going to be one of the things that's going to help us hold on for longer and grip for longer. You know, the fleshly lust might be the, what was it, Andy, the V8 cars or something? V8 G-Pack Tirana, obviously one of my lusts as well. You know, it might be, you know, it might be something else like, you know, a sporting, you know, venture or a, I don't know, financial gains or, you know, just backbiting or naughty behavior, you know, wild behavior. And, you know, that lust sort of the flesh is warring against our soul, and we've got to protect against it. We've got to make sure that we're not letting that in to our team, into our sort of area, our spiritual life. In sports, I suppose they'd say, they'd use the expression that they're putting their body on the line for it. You know, you might take some hits, you might make some sacrifices for the team, but it's all about protecting that little oblong ball or that little puck or that little checkered ball. and in our walks, we've got to make those sacrifices as well. Sometimes we've got to say no. Sometimes we've got to deal with situations and protect our what we've got, our crown, and make sure that we're holding on until we make it to that landing zone. And sadly, you see some ice hockey players or some rugby players or some, you know, footy players or something like that, you know, protecting a little puck or a little ball or a little soccer ball or something like that. They're protecting something like that more than they're protecting their salvation. And it's just sad to see. But we've just got to make sure we're protecting it, that we're guarding it with our life. Let's go to the next scripture in Ephesians 4. You might know, you might be able to think of a situation that you've got to hold on to, or that you've got to hold on for. You know, we get buffeted around by the wind. We get buffeted around by the, you know, the knocking of that. Anyone know what that bar is called that they hold on to? Paraglider, hang glider bar. I'm going to call it that then. You know, we may get knocked around a bit by the hang glider bar, and we've just got to hold on. It might be a health situation or, you know, persecution that we've got. You've just got to hold tight. It might be the worldly lust, something drawing you back. You've got to hold tight. And Ephesians 4. Yeah, so as we read back in Revelation there, that there could be someone that will take it away from us, that crown, that there could be someone that will take that crown away from us. And Ephesians 4, verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about, excuse me, with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I suppose it's true that there is people out there. There's, you know, Satan's roaring around, roaring around, trying to deceive people. And we've got to make sure that we're protecting it. We're guarding that ball. We're holding on tight, that we're not being knocked around by cunning craftiness. And by its very nature, it's not going to be obvious, is it? That cunning craftiness, it's not going to come as a, you know, a big sign over the top of it saying, I'm cunning craftiness, or I'm sleight of men. Or as we read in the parables there, you know, the sower and the seed and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of the flesh and so on. And they're not going to come as with big signs over the top of them, although most people can sort of identify them, but they're not. They're just going to be coming, you know, in a cunning form. And we've just got to be careful and we've got to watch out for it. And he says, sorry, I should have asked for a drink before, but it's almost too late now. whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And in the earlier verses there, it talks about becoming mature believers just before this verse here. And we've got to become mature believers. We've got to grow so that we can actually identify those things, so that we can actually be able to guard against it. Like we heard the other night with taking on the full armor of God to protect ourselves. Protect ourselves from the traps of the world. Let's go to the last verse. Romans 13:11. It's funny, sportsmen are definitely very good at being able to identify when someone's going to be cunning and come around the back of them to grab the ball off them, or, you know, basketball, steal it out from behind them. They're very tricky with their plays and their moves. And it's almost like we've got to be like that. We've got to be able to identify and keep our eyes open. Scriptures talk about staying awake and making sure our eyes are, you know, peeled open to these sorts of things. Don't let anyone steal your crown. Romans 13, verse 11, just our last verse here. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And it is time to wake out of our sleep. Not saying that anyone's sleeping here. However, we do have to know that it's critical. This is a critical time. in the Amplified, I'll read it. Do this. Knowing that this is a critical time, it is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep of spiritual complacency. For our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. So wake up. We just got to make sure that we're identifying these things, guarding and protecting and holding on, making sure that we've got the strength to hold on. Do we have that grip strength to hold on to that hang glider bar and the guy's leg and just grip on? Because it's that kind of a urgency about it. You've got to make sure that you're hanging on with everything. If you can imagine yourself in that situation, you got like, you know, 400, 300 meters of air beneath you and the ground, and you don't want to drop. You just got to hang on for that whole time. So, yeah, you just got to hold on for dear life. And all the people said...